KPBS On Demand is supported by the San Diego County Toyota Dealers. Experience the new 2024 Corolla with classic styling and offering up to 35 mpg, Toyota Safety Sense 3.0, and more. See your Toyota dealer to explore all Corolla options. San Diego County Toyota Dealers. We make it easy.
Good morning, I'm Debbie Cruz. It's Wednesday, October 30th. There are mixed feelings about the South Bay Wastewater Treatment Plant project. More on that next. But first, let's do the headlines. County health officials are looking for people who may have come in contact with a rabid bat found in a parking lot in Oceanside. The animal was found on the ground outside the Petco store on Vista Way last Wednesday morning. It was collected by Animal Services and later tested positive for rabies. Health officials say people can catch rabies from a bat bite or if the bat's saliva comes in contact with a cut or a person's eyes, nose, or mouth. Symptoms in people can take up to months to develop. If you or someone you know came in contact with the bat last week, contact County Public Health Services by calling 619-692-8499. 10 rabid bats have been detected in the county this year. The county is offering free flu shots at events today and over the next few weeks. The CDC recommends everyone 6 months and older should get the flu vaccine every year. Today, free flu shots will be offered at the Northgate Market in Chula Vista from 1 to 4 p.m. And next Tuesday at the Southeastern LiveWell Center and on November 13th at the Mission Valley Library. If you can't make it to the events, free flu vaccines are also available at some public health center locations. The San Diego International Airport is getting more than $12 million from the Federal Aviation Administration to help fund its Terminal 1 project. The funds are part of the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law's Airport Terminal Program. It will go toward the construction of two passenger boarding bridges, structural supports, foundation concrete, pilings, flooring, and roofing. This is the third grant awarded to the airport from the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law. The airport has received more than $87 million in grants, including this newest one. 125 airports across the country were awarded grants this round. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the San Diego County Toyota Dealers. Experience the new 2024 Tacoma at your local dealer and learn about the new lineup, including turbocharged four-cylinder engines and a hybrid powertrain option. San Diego County Toyota Dealers. We make it easy.
Work has started on a project to fix and expand the South Bay International Wastewater Treatment Plant. It was celebrated yesterday by officials from both sides of the border. The project is expected to take as long as 5 years and cost $600 million. But Imperial Beach Mayor Paloma Aguirre says the plant is only part of the South Bay sewage problem. She says the bigger issue is the stench and hazardous air caused by pollution in the Tijuana River.
And it's not just the physical ailments, it's the small business owners that are seeing their savings, life savings, go up in smoke because of the lack of visitors that we're seeing.
Aguirre has repeatedly asked Governor Gavin Newsom and the Biden administration to declare a state of emergency to get the problem resolved more quickly. Construction has started on a new and improved double-track bridge for trains between Carlsbad and Encinitas. Reporter Jacob Ayer says the new bridge over Batiquitos Lagoon is expensive, but it comes with multiple benefits.
At the picturesque wetlands where land meets sea, construction crews have started to dig in on the Batiquitos Lagoon double-tracked project in North County. It's a joint effort between Caltrans and the San Diego Association of Governments to replace an old wooden bridge. David Cortez is Sandag's Director of Construction and Engineering.
The process right now that we're undertaking is building a platform for the equipment to start building a new bridge that we're going to put at the Batiquitos Lagoon. It's going to replace an 85-year-old bridge, a single track, with a double track, modern concrete bridge.
It will add nearly a mile of new double track, meaning trains can travel both ways at the same time. The $166 million Batiquitos Lagoon project is fully funded by a combination of state and local funds. Construction is expected to be completed in 2028. Jacob Ayer, KPBS News.
Residents in National City are calling on its city council to block a fuel transfer station from being built near homes. iNewsSource investigative reporter Philip Salata explains.
A semi-truck rolling through West National City neighborhoods is already a common sight. Now residents are worried there will be at least 70 more loaded with fuel passing near their homes every night while they try to sleep. The National City Energy Transition Project, run by Texas-based USD Clean Fuels, will train in and truck out biodiesel at a new facility within a half mile of Kimball Elementary School. It's located in an area California has slated for emissions reductions programs. That was resident Maria Sanchez, who said at a city council meeting earlier this month that while her grandchildren struggle with asthma, she struggles to clean the black soot that enters her home from industrial pollution. That's what they breathe, she says. A company spokesperson said they will minimize impact by avoiding residential areas, schools, churches, and congested areas. When community advocates heard about the project, they joined with residents to push for mitigation measures. The project is currently undergoing environmental review. Here is Kelsey Genesee from the Environmental Health Coalition.
We know that they suffer tremendously from, you know, high rates of asthma. The cancer risk is incredible in communities where they're overburdened by these polluting sources.
For KPBS, I'm iNewsSource investigative reporter Philip Salata.
iNewsSource is an independently funded nonprofit partner of KPBS. Two ballot drop boxes in Washington and Oregon were set on fire this week. Officials say hundreds of ballots were destroyed. San Diego election officials say the registrar's drop boxes are designed to be safe and secure. Cynthia Paz is San Diego County's registrar of voters. She says the boxes are made of weather-resistant and fire-suppressant material.
This grade of stainless steel can resist scaling at very high temperatures, above 1,800 degrees.
Paz says they have double-locking doors and anti-pry door jams. Ballot retrieval teams inspect the drop boxes for signs of damage or tampering during their daily pickups. As of yesterday, the registrar has received more than 530,000 ballots so far. About 30% of those were dropped off at drop boxes. This election season, Americans have been exposed to a surge of unfounded claims. Public Matters investigative reporter Amita Sharma reports disinformation is only expected to intensify. Amita, give us some examples of disinformation related to the presidential election that are being circulated.
It's pretty wide-ranging. Some of it we've heard before back in 2020. Stories about undocumented people unlawfully voting in droves in the presidential election or voting machines actually reversing votes. There are left-leaning websites that claimed the first assassination attempt against former President Donald Trump was staged. Mackenzie Sodagy of NewsGuard, which rates news and information, says a Russian disinformation network pushed out a deep fake video of former President Barack Obama claiming that the Democrats were behind that assassination attempt because they feared that Trump would win in November and that the only way to defeat him was to kill him.
Amita, so you've mentioned partisan websites and Russia is putting out these lies. Who or what else is spreading the disinformation and what's being done to rein it in?
Well, Debbie, Microsoft has what's called a threat analysis center, and it delivered a warning last month, one of many, actually, that in addition to Russia, China and Iran are working to influence the outcome of this election, with Iran focused on the Trump campaign and trying to gin up anti-Israel sentiment. The Washington Post reported this week that an ex-deputy sheriff from Florida has partnered with Russian military intelligence to distribute deep fakes on Vice President Kamala Harris. Now, meanwhile, the Center for Countering Digital Hates says X's AI tool, Grok, has a feature that enables users to produce images with prompts that is absolutely problematic. The center said Grok lacked the guardrails to protect against generating election disinformation. So, for example, one Grok image showed an ailing Trump in a hospital bed, and it was believable. Another showed Harris sitting in front of a table with lines of salt, made to look like cocaine, needles, and tiny bottles of medication. So remember, Debbie, when these distortions appear on social media, they potentially reach millions of people. And Sotaji says Meta, X, and TikTok are applying labels to election lies.
It's unclear if or how effective that's been.
What's the effect of the disinformation?
Well, at the end of the day, people's decisions, i.e. their votes, are only as good as the information that they're given. So it's dangerous. It wounds democracy. It wounds society. Democracy relies on information. We saw what happened in England in August when false social media posts about the fatal stabbings of three children triggered riots against Muslims and other minorities. Dean Nelson, who is the founder and director of the journalism program at Point Loma Nazarene University, says really at the end of the day, mayhem is the goal.
So if you can create chaos and mistrust, and then you have a leader who says, you can trust me and only me, then you can see the political machine just kind of working there.
And Debbie, I should point out that with local news coverage and the news industry as a whole in decline and people existing in these, you know, these media silos, these information silos, it is difficult for news reporters, for journalists to really flag all the disinformation, to debunk it and make sure it reaches the people who are actually believing these lies. It's why Tim Franklin, who is a dean at Northwestern University's Medill School of Journalism, says that there has to be content regulation on social media platforms. He says so far, tech companies have successfully argued that just like phone companies can't control what's said on a phone call, they can't oversee what is said on the internet. The problem is, a call is between a couple of people. Social media reaches millions. Franklin believes, however, that oversight will eventually happen.
Whether it's done voluntarily by the companies or whether Congress steps in, I think there is a growing sense, bipartisan sense in Congress that action needs to be taken.
So in the meantime, Americans are just going to have to do their own fact checking. They can use resources like the News Literacy Project, the Campaign Legal Center, and of course, NewsGuard, which is where Mackenzie Sotaji works.
A South Bay high school is using this year's presidential election to make the concept of democracy more concrete. Reporter Melissa May introduces us to some future voters working to get out the vote.
As part of their humanities class project, 48 High Tech High Chula Vista 11th graders hosted a voter information fair at Southwestern College.
You can look along these tables around here. We talk about the different propositions you can vote for, as well as different people like mayors.
11th grader Glenn Salonga says this class has taught him that his vote will matter.
I'm really grateful for this project because I got to be educated more on what I can vote for as an adult when I turn 18 in the next year.
In addition to learning about democracy, the class registered almost 300 high school seniors and college students to vote. Melissa May, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Join us again tomorrow for the day's top stories. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening and have a great Wednesday.
Hi, I'm Bill Hoehn.
And I'm Ted Hoehn.
Over the past 50 years, our family has brought many world-class dealerships to Carlsbad, including Mercedes-Benz, Porsche, Audi, Honda, Acura, Jaguar, and Land Rover.
That's right. This year we're celebrating 50 years in Carlsbad.
So on behalf of the entire Hohen family, we want to thank San Diego. Throughout the years, we've taken tremendous pride in meeting and even exceeding our customers' automotive needs.
We value the relationships with our clients and look forward to serving you for years to come. We invite you to visit one of the Hohen Carlsbad dealerships or hohenmotors.com.